It's an amazing thing to look out at this audience and to discover that I'm the only one of my race here this morning. It's been a long time since that's happened. I preached a revival in a church in Southern Virginia and discovered that I was the only Caucasian that was there, and the rest of the church, quite frankly, they worked me to death. I made a comment this morning. Dr. Chu has said I needed to preach 45 minutes. I don't know if I've got 45 minutes of preaching in me, so relax. But this church tried to get me to preach for an hour and a half, and when I stopped, they kept saying, "Come on, let's have some more. Let's have some more." I appreciate the invitation to be with you this morning. I'm very honored. I've been with the English congregation several times, a number of times over the last several years. I bring you greetings from the Anglican churches in the central Washington area. I'm Father Mac Culver. I am an Anglican priest in the Convocation of Christ the Redeemer. We're part of the Anglican Church of North America. We're a relatively new group, but we're the old group, really. We're part of those who said, no, it's about Jesus. It's about following the Scripture. It's about doing the things that God has called us to do. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you this morning. In addition to the group of young people that I usually speak to when I'm over here, we're grateful for the camaraderie, for banding together as Christian brothers and sisters to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Tri-Cities area. We're a small congregation, much smaller than you are, but we've become quite loud. You know, it's okay to be small, I'm told, if you're really loud. So we're getting more so that way, and we enjoy our fellowship with a number of you on a personal basis, but certainly in the broader kingdom of God. Well, I see the vestiges of Christmas are still around us. I like the Christmas tree is beautiful. It looks different than the one in my house. My grandkids decorated, and it's decorated about up to here. And there's nothing else on top. They can do it. Well, my wife did put a few things up there, but the important things are down here, where the kids put them. Because you see, those grandkids are the most important people in my life. It's all about them. And if you don't believe them, just ask them. They'll tell you that's true. I see the Advent wreath has been appropriately used, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And the banner, He has come. He has come. My prayer for you this morning is that He's not only come in our culture, He's not only come in America, in China or wherever, but He's come in you. That He is a real presence in your life. That Jesus is more than just someone that we sing songs to, or we see posters about, or we pick up our worship folder and we see, "Behold, I make all things new," and we see things about Him. I'm not interested in you knowing about Him. I'm interested in you knowing Him and Him making a difference in your life and in mine. When I thought about the things of this first Sunday in the new year, and it is our new year, isn't it? Or does it wait until February? That's normally. What is this incident? It's going to be the year of the rabbit. Is that correct? I've never quite figured that out. Do you go look for the cuddliest animals and name the year after? Is it a cycle? Is that what it is? 12 animals. After the 12 tribes of Israel. Whatever. That works, doesn't it? But I thought about that while we celebrate the new year, while we celebrate the beginning of 2011, you will be able to celebrate another new beginning. And so is it in Scripture. The Scripture we read this morning is a prophecy from Isaiah that proclaims God is making all things new. Things are new. I know my students at the Bible College like things being new because the old semester's gone. That's done. I did the good things well. I did the bad things the way I normally do bad things. I'm going to throw that across the room in just a minute, so don't worry. I did those things, and now they're on semester break, and they're waiting till the middle of February with bated breath so they can come back to college again and get to work, right? Wrong. I'm getting a response up here that's kind of one of those mixed ones, but we look for new beginnings. You and I look for new beginnings. Whatever the relationship is, whatever the problem is, whatever the task that God has for us to perform, we get to where we look for new beginnings. Well, I don't know if any of you bowl. Do you? Is that something that's? I usually put names on the pins of different folks in my congregation, so that when I bowl the ball down, it gives me some. Yeah, you get it. So, some excitement when they fall. But there is a thing that those of us who occasionally bowl do, that we end up with things in the gutter. You understand that concept of the gutter down each side of the alley, and the ball goes down the gutter. And we throw five or six of those, and we go down and we draw a fence across the score, and we say, I'm going to start a new beginning here. It's going to be better. It's like the game that we have on our Android phone that's not going real well, and we go in and we erase everything and we say, we're going to start it anew. We're going to do it again. The wise man said, a long journey begins with one step. Ah, you're familiar with that. A long journey begins with one step. Sometimes we look at the path that God has chosen for us to take and we say, but that's a long journey. My youngest grandchild is but 2 years old, and when he took that first step, little did he know the journey that was ahead of him. I wonder if sometimes when we take that first step, if we knew the journey that God had for us, we knew the path that we were going to walk, if we'd actually take that step. But that which comes from Scripture reminds us that truly the wise man was correct when he said a long journey begins with one step. And you and I must have the faith in God to take that step. There have been times in my life where the step was easy to take, where I knew the outcome. I knew that things were secure and all was well with the world. Things were bright and sunny and 80 degrees. You do remember 80 degrees, right? Bright and sunny, and all the world was right, and the birds were singing, and I knew that I could take the next step securely because I had everything around me controlled. But you and I know that things around us are not always controlled that way. There are many times that we take the next step only in faith. Lord, I don't know what 2011 is going to be like. I don't have the prophecies. You haven't told me what it's going to be like. But Lord, what you have told me is that you're going to be with me. So I take that step. I take that step into the new year with full confidence that He is beside me. It's like the poem said, not only are there those times that I see both of our footprints on the sand, but there may, in fact, in 2011 be those times whenever the only footprints I see is one set, and they're His, for He's holding me. I've had some times like that. Whenever I've been so broken and so confused by what was going on, that God had to carry me. That God had to get me through that time. For without Him, I would have surely died within. But He carried me. And He showed me that even though I walk in the valley, that there is sunshine. There is an end to that He has called me to walk through at that time. And I'm not going to stand here and pretend to prophesy or to say to you that you're going to walk through a valley this year, but there is a great probability that in a congregation of this size, someone is going to walk through a time of darkness. It may be right now that you're going through that. I want to assure you, based upon my personal experience, and not only my personal experience, but the experience of those recorded in Scripture, God is there. God is there. And as I look back on those times personally, I say that not only was God there, but I believe I can say, and you notice I said I believe, in many situations, I'm confident that the end is better than the beginning. Let me be very specific with you to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Several years ago, I was walking across the campus of my school over in the Seattle area. I got a phone call. And my wife said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm standing out in front of the administrative building." And she said, "Is there anyone with you?" And I said, "Yes, there's a couple of guys with you." And she said, "Good, because I have something to tell you. I just got a phone call and our oldest son just died." And I couldn't believe it. He was 34 years old and sitting in his office at the church here in Tri-Cities at Central Church. And the Lord had seen fit that was the moment that He was going to call him home. And my world seemed to come apart. And some of you understand that. And as I walked through that valley, the only thing at times I could sense was the presence of God. You see, I was so numb and separated from the other things that I couldn't see anything or feel anything but His presence. Thank God He manifested Himself to me. Now, several years later, I rejoice that my son has celebrated but another Christmas in the presence of Jesus. And I rejoice that my grandchildren have a new dad. And I rejoice that in that situation that my son's wife has a new husband. And they've got a new baby I can spoil rotten. And I'm doing that, believe me. And I look into his eyes and I hear him say, as I embrace him, "Grandpa, I love you." I know that those words could have come only because of the events that happened before. You see, I've learned a lot in these few years. I've learned that God is faithful. That whatever He calls us to do, He gives us the strength to do it if we trust Him. Not of my power, not of my strength, not of anything that I have within me, but His power and His strength. A new beginning. A new beginning. And an amazing one. One filled with wonder. One filled with awe. And then suddenly I'm aware of the fact that, why, I should have known that all along. I should have known that out of deep anguish and deep sorrow comes new beginnings. And that God takes that which seemingly is overwhelming and He brings about blessing and great joy. For that's what the Scripture's all about. Why, it begins in Genesis chapter 1. You know, that's the record of beginning. In the beginning. No, that's not about baseball. In the beginning, not big inning, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God did it. I don't care how He did it. God did it. And if you believe it took a million years for that to happen, that's fine. If you believe it happened instantaneously, I serve a God who can do it instantaneously. Or He can choose to take His time doing it. I don't care. I see, I'm not God. I'm in sales, not administration. I don't care how He does it, as long as He does it. God began, and the Scripture says He put man in the garden, and after He created man, He kind of stood back. And if we believe some of the pictures we see, He caressed His beard and He looked at mankind and He said, "It's very good. It's very good." Excuse me, did you hear that? It's very good. Did you know that's you? He's talking about you and me. You're very good. You are created in the image of God. There is that within you that reflects the very nature of He who is eternal. God looks at you and says, "That's the crown of my creation. The very best." Why, look at her. She reflects my glory. Look at him. I've created only so many perfect heads and the rest I put hair on. Look at him. Isn't that amazing? Why, look at the way the eyes work. And he's not even aware of all of the things that are going on to make that happen. I'll bet he hasn't thought about his pancreas in the last 2 months. But it's working just like I designed it to be. God made things beautiful. And the Scripture says in man, Adam and Eve walked into the garden. They walked with Him in the cool of the evening. And they had an intimate relationship with God that they broke. And the reason they broke it was because they listened to he who is against God. You see, the snake, according to Scripture, was more beautiful than the other animals. And, oh, you know the story. But sometimes we get tangled up in the nuances of the story and we forget that what God is telling us is that we get distracted by the world and the new cars and the new refrigerators and all of this stuff that's going on and more education and more education and more education and all of this stuff. Where really God has provided us this stuff in order that we might honor and serve Him. They got involved with all of the stuff, and the account goes, she looked at that which was of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, it is good, it looks good to eat. And she ate, and she gave it to her husband, and they ate. And that sin of disobedience, for God had told him not to eat of that tree. Anything else you can have, not that. And they ate that which was forbidden. And things changed. But even in that context, God promised them a new beginning. For he looked at the serpent and he said, her seed will bruise your head. Her seed will crush you. And he told the enemy, it's not over yet. I'm making a promise to these that I have created, that are in my image. It's not over yet. In order to bring about the promise that God made to Adam and Eve, God called a people to follow Him. God's promise to Abraham, you follow me and I will multiply your lineage and you will fill the earth. And for a while they did pretty well, but then they forgot. Like you and I forget. They forgot the promise. They forgot the relationship. They forgot the joy of service. They forgot the joy of walking with God. And God, time and time again, finds them in this situation and He brings them back. He lovingly brings them back. The children of Israel, that God called to have a special relationship with Him to fulfill the promise made to man. They walked with God until they didn't. See, kind of like you and me. We walk with God until it's no longer convenient for us to do that. We walk with God until she really says something that really makes me angry. And then I let her have it. Walk with God gracefully until He does something or doesn't do something that upsets me and then I really let Him have it. That old nature comes out and we say, I don't know what this is about anyway, but I don't like that, and away we go. And God calls us back. Lord, I'll serve you all of my life. You remember that time you came up out of the waters of baptism? You were so excited about following Jesus that you said, Lord, this is a new beginning and I'm going to serve you all of my life. Whenever what you really should have said, I'm going to serve you all of my life except when it's not convenient. Or when I want to walk the path that I want to walk. But God's love reaches down and He says, you're my child, I have created you. I knew you before you were born. Let me give you a new beginning. follow me. Renew within you that commitment that you made and follow me. Because I love you. Is that okay? And we turn to him when we say, yes, Lord, that's okay. Because I really do love you. And we follow him again. And again, we decide we're going to do it my way. I want to do it my way, Daddy. And Daddy says, I created you with free will. You can choose to follow me or not. I'm not going to compel you to follow me. I'm going to show you the gift that I have given you and allow you to make a choice. I want to share with you something that happened to me at school several years ago. I was a school principal in the Seattle area. And I dressed like this every day. They wanted to make sure that they knew there was a priest there. I don't understand why, but I dress like this all the time. And what you can't see is I have something in my pocket. But my kids knew that. My kids knew that I carry a cross in my pocket. It's on a chain here. Can you see the chain? And on the end of that chain is a cross. And I was going up the stairs, much like those stairs back there, and I heard the sound of this kindergartner. Love kindergartners. 5 years old, they're great. It's eighth grade that they... But I love kindergartners. And this kindergartner says, Dr. Culver, do you have your cross? And I looked at him and I said, certainly. And I pulled out my cross. And you see, it has a corpus on it. To represent the sacrifice that God made for you and me. And this five-year-old boy took it and gently held it in his hand. And he moved it to his daddy and he says, Daddy, Jesus did that for me. And tears came to Daddy's eyes and tears came to my eyes. And the little boy walked away. Having proclaimed the gospel in a way that enables me to proclaim it again to you. God did that for you. He did that for me. He loves me so much, He loves you so much, that He continues to give us new beginnings. This can be a new beginning for you this morning. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know how your walk is with Jesus. But in a few moments, I'm going to ask you about that. And this morning, on this first Sunday of the new year, our new year, we've gone over. This first Sunday of the new year, you can have a new beginning. You can decide that 2011 is going to be different because I am going to follow Jesus. I am going to do the things that I know He wants me to do. I am going to be the kind of person that He wants me to be. I am going to stand tall for Him in the crowd where everybody else is doing all of these dumb, stupid, worldly, devilish things. I'm going to stand solid for Jesus Christ. You can do that. And as I look at Scripture and all the promises, as I look at the new beginning, the fact that Jesus did this for me and the body of believers that gather around Him, the disciples and the apostles who went out proclaiming the gospel like you and I do, right? You know what St. Francis of Assisi, who said, at all times proclaim the gospel, and if you must, use words. Did you get the implication of that? Preach the gospel at all times, but if you must, use words. Be the kind of person that God has created you to be. Be the kind of person that Jesus changes as the Holy Spirit comes in. He changes you and me. Back to that moment in baptism when we come out of that water, we know what He's done. We know that we have a new beginning. For you see, there's another new beginning coming, isn't there? The promise to you and me out of the book of Revelation chapter 21 is, behold, I will make all things new. Now, else you think I'm going to get involved in an eschatological dissertation. Wouldn't do that this morning. It's too close to New Year's. But to talk about the theories of what Jesus is going to do when He comes back, you know, it doesn't matter to me what He does because He's Jesus. He can do whatever He wants to do. How's that to get out of that argument? God can do whatever God wants to do. People ask me about these controversial things in the church, and do you think this happens, or do you think God does this? Or I said, you know, I'm going to let God be God, and I'm not. I'm going to let God do what God wants to do. But one of the things that He promised us is that He's coming back. And all things will be new. Now, I just recently reread a great book by Randy Alcorn entitled Heaven, What It Will Be Like. I would suggest that to you. That's the one I read is for children. I'm giving to my oldest grandson, who now is 8, 9 years old, and he's beginning to ask questions about why God took his dad. And I'm going to give this to him because he's now old enough to read it and to understand. And it talks about heaven and what this great pastor from Portland has gleaned from scriptures and the promises that God has and the new beginnings that we're going to have. And he says, all things are made new. Hey, did you know that includes you and me? I don't know about you, but my doctor tells me I've got the blood work of a 25-year-old, but I want to tell you the rest of my body doesn't feel like it. When I try to get out of the car, I wish for larger doors and some bars to help me get out of the car. Things are getting that way. We're going to be made new. That's what it's about. New beginnings. If I know anything about Scripture, I know that there are going to be new things. Do you want to be part of that? New things. A new heaven and a new earth. I drove through Montana this summer and I have my little spot picked out and I said, Lord, right there, forever and ever and ever. I can do that. On that beautiful mountainside, overlooking that gorgeous river that comes through, I can do that. I know that what He has for us then is much better than what I have now, because I believe His promises. He's proven Himself faithful over and over again. Will He find you faithful? Will He find me faithful? Are you ready for that new beginning? We're going to take communion in just a few moments. This communion involves our participation with Him. It's all about Jesus, after all. We don't do it here unless it's all about Jesus. We're going to participate in Him in a very real way. Yes, it's bread and it's wine, but it's that which He has given to us in order that we might have Him in us in a very real way. You see, He knows what we are. He's created us. What about you this morning? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes and let's pray together. Lord, there may be some here this morning who want a new beginning with You. And Lord, I pray that You would give us a new beginning, that You would help us to serve You more joyfully this year, that You would help us to stand for You. When all around is failing, Lord, that we can have confidence in You, that we can know You. If you're one who's pledged to make a new beginning this year, would you just quickly raise your hand? Just real quickly. Just, Lord, a new beginning. I want a new beginning right now. Thank You. Yes, thank You. Hands all over the congregation. Lord, I pray that the prayer of their hearts would reach Your throne and You would respond. Lord, give us new beginnings. Help us to serve You, to honor You, and to love You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I see that there's a song on here, Sweet By and By. What a great song. Are we going to sing it now? After communion, with those of you who are going to assist in communion, come up and let's, I don't know.